I guess I'd always like to stress, because I've seen so much suffering of people whose children, adult children or whatever, young children have had this problem. You know, I've been there. It's nothing I did. I was very fortunate. I thank God for pulling us out of it. But just don't give up. Keep trying. Keep trying. Don't give up hope.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Welcome. It's the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour, featuring the collected voices of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am Alice, an alcoholic in transition.
Hi, Alice. Hey, everybody. I'm Sam, an alcoholic in Palm Springs, California.
Sam, it's a new month. It's a new year, and the new grapevine is here.
Woohoo! Wait. I mean, I'm thrilled that it's a new month and the new grapevine, but it's not a new year. We're talking April now.
Hey, listen,
who writes
a
this
lot
stuff?
Of us have made commitments and we're not moving on them. So we're starting the year all over in April. That's
Okay.
just what we're doing.
Well, you know, April Fool's was, I believe that came about because people thought it was the start of the year.
Well, April Fool's to you, my friend.
And to you, dear. This month, we celebrate the 85th anniversary of our basic text, Alcoholics Anonymous, with wonderful stories by members recalling favorite passages and memories. In the story, Black and Blue and Yellow, a member goes through her book and marvels at the different marks she made over her 50 years of sobriety. The different pens each carried memories of her sobriety at that time. You know, Alice, I've got multiple big books that I've used over the years with sponsors and sponsees and in big book study meetings. And I'm not really a highlighter. I'm more of a note taker. And sometimes it might just be a word, but there are so many memories of things people said both about the text we were reading or just in general. It may have been something, a joke that we laughed about, but I have so many memories noted in these books. And it's just opening one of these books really is a trip down memory lane. Do you have anything like that going on?
You know, when I got here, we were in the third edition, right? And the fourth edition didn't come out until 2001, and I got here in 87. And so it didn't occur to me that there would ever be a different version of the book, right? And so my third edition was like treasured, and I hot glued it back together, and like it's a mess. And I begrudgingly gave up my third edition for a fourth edition, and it's in the same condition. It's highlighted and notes everywhere and notes on top of notes. And I learn more listening to people and taking notes in book studies and regular meetings than I do reading it on my own. And so sometimes I'll see a note and I'll remember the person who said that.
Yes.
And it'll bring back that memory of that meeting. Or, yeah, it's a brand new life and the book reflects how I've grown.
It's pretty fantastic. You know, I also just remembered one of the things that I also have in one book in particular that I used with several sponsees over the years in North Carolina is I used these little sticky tabs, little bookmark tabs, and I would write their name on it. And so I still have those tabs in that book showing where we left off at our last meeting.
I really appreciate that, because I say to all the people, like, it's your responsibility, you know, where we left off, because I certainly can't do that. That sounds similar to a photo of the big book in the story Worn with Love. In that picture, the big book is coverless, and it's just stacks of pages topped with the first page of the chapter, Working with Others. And I counted about five colors of highlighter and some pencil notes in the margin. I love what Kathy L. wrote in that story. Quote, it didn't matter at all that the language was sometimes different, or that the book was written in a different time, or that AA started by addressing mostly men, at least in the early days. To me, what's great about the book and why it speaks to us after all these years is that it goes above and beyond all the limitations of time and place and gender and sexuality, ethnicity, religious background, or lack of it. It transcends all of that. The ideas in the book are universal. They apply to all of us. How beautiful is that?
That is absolutely wonderful. Before he got sober, the man in Stolen Gem would keep his big book next to him in his car seat to remind him of what life might be like if he stopped drinking.
Wow. That image is stunning, right? And in All in the Family, a woman, now sober, holds dear the big book her parents once used.
Oh, wow. Also included are more memories and a history timeline of the making of the big book.
There is a really well-done timeline of the first year and a half of the making of the big book. Lots of boxes with snippets of history in sequence. For example, middle of October, 1937.
Our co-founder, Bill W., travels to Akron, where the group meets and approves raising funds for paid missionaries, a chain of national hospitals, and a writing of the big book. The Ohio members do not, however, intend to contribute any money themselves, and they send Bill back to New York City to raise money there.
May 20th, 1938.
Having collected just one contribution in the past 7 months, Bill begins writing Bill's story, and There Is a Solution, primarily as promotion pieces that he and Hank P. hope will open the wallets of the rich.
And it's all very exciting if you have a love of our textbook. Who's our guest today, Sam?
Alice, today's guest, you just talked about a little bit, is the author of Worn with Love. We welcome Kathy from Portland, Oregon. Her story's on page 26 of the April 2024 issue. What are the Grapevine's most popular books? Emotional Sobriety 1 and 2. Both are filled with experiences by sober AA members, many with long-term sobriety, about the positive transformations we can achieve by practicing the principles of the program in all aspects of our lives. The stories show how the rewards are serenity, emotional balance, and an increased joy for living. Visit aagrapevine.org/books.
Kathy L. I'm from Portland, Oregon. My sobriety date is August 25th of 2010. I got sober in AA. I've been active in AA since that first day.
Getting sober in AA, I love that you said that because not everybody gets sober in AA. Some people come to us and have been dry for a while.
Well, I started to try to get sober. I stayed sober on my own for about a month.
That was a long month, wasn't it?
yeah, that was a nervous laugh there. That wasn't a fun time, was
well,
it?
Well, yeah, it was. I really think I was just looking for an easier, softer way because I don't think that I was really ready to completely say, I am an alcoholic. After a month deciding my own willpower would handle all this, I went out again. Mm-hmm. And then I went to an AA meeting at a wonderful club. From the moment I went in there, I felt very at home. Now, it wasn't easy. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't scary, but I felt very much at home. And it was a very diverse group of people. I mean, we were from all walks of life, which was great.
I got sober in a clubhouse meeting, too. That was my home group for a long time. There is a familial sense. I mean, when I first started going to that clubhouse meeting, I would get there early, like, I don't know, 45 minutes early, because I knew that once the meeting started and you had trapped me in a conversation, that was going to stop. But as soon as the meeting was over, I was out the door because if you trapped me in a conversation then, I didn't know when it was going to end.
Yeah.
So, but it let me get to know people a little bit and it let them get to know me. And it was the regulars, the same people almost every day.
Yeah. Kathy, I'd love to hear more about that clubhouse.
There were four people who started it, and it was on a main street. I say was because during COVID, they couldn't keep it up anymore after a while. They couldn't pay their rent and other things. Unfortunately, it's a big loss to us. But people came in right off the street, along with people who were there for many, many years, 30 years more. Yeah, they did social events as well. And I guess one of the things about it is AA, and that meeting in particular, is one of the few places where you are really accepted and nobody's shocked by what you have to say.
That's right.
And nobody judges what you have
That's
to say.
Right.
And people are honest for the most part. Now, I'm not saying sure, we're all works in progress, right? But you can really be honest with people and they can be honest with you. And I find in our society, that's not It's not a common thing. It's not common. Not a common thing.
We do have something special, indeed. Kathy, when you went to that meeting, was that the first meeting that you'd ever been to of AA?
No, it wasn't. But I had gone to some meetings with my daughter. I cleared this with her to say something about her. I certainly wouldn't tell her story. She has now 17 years.
Wow.
In
Fantastic.
She started young and has stayed with it. She's very active in AA. But at the time, the problems were really difficult and serious. And how can I say this? I went with her to some meetings, and sometimes I went to Al-Anon, but nothing registered to me because I didn't think I had a problem. You know?
So Kathy, you went to your first meeting to support your daughter thinking, I'm going to help her, poor thing, but I don't have a problem.
Right. But it was even more than poor thing. I mean, it was that she didn't start drinking until she was 19 and went to college. And in the space of 2 years, she very nearly killed herself. And she's fine with my explaining that she is one of those people who now for me, I was not one of those people who the first time I drink, I was just gone, a goner. You know, mm-hmm. I drank socially, as occasionally at home. When I started having stresses and problems, I started using alcohol as a crutch.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I was doing that. And then it spiraled out of control. So I went with her. Yeah, I mean, we were doing anything we could to try to save her life at that time. Mm. And AA was what finally caught. I mean, AA and a higher power. I would like people who are parents of children who are having addiction problems, I'd just like to give you some hope. It's one of the most difficult things you can ever go through. And I think if people haven't gone through, they don't know. But there is a lot of hope. There's hope as long as they're around.
And there's a lot of help too. And we do have that sister organization, Al-Anon, that is a huge resource for folks who have loved ones who are going through addiction. Whether or not those folks are trying to get sober, it can still help someone whose loved one is going through addiction problems.
Yes, it can, very much so. Yeah. So I went with her. I knew where this club was because we had been to various meetings around Portland area. I liked the name of the meeting that I finally joined up to because the name of it was Putting Sobriety First. Hmm. And I found that that was absolutely what saved me. I had to put sobriety above everything else in my life. Otherwise, it was not going to work.
Did you get a sponsor quickly?
Yeah, I did. Almost the very first day or the very first week, maybe. Yeah, there was a woman who had a good deal more sobriety than I had. And I asked her and she said yes. And we actually started the steps almost immediately. So I wasn't waiting around. I mean, I was, it made sense to me. Like the saying goes, I liked what they had and I wanted to get that for myself. So yeah, I started immediately. And what I particularly was useful to me with my sponsor was that she did not blame me for things. So she didn't come down on me. Now, some people, it's different for different people. Some people like that really hard approach. But for me, it worked to say, yes, you have to face yourself. This is hard, but you're not a total jerk. You know, that works for me.
Absolutely. You know, thankfully, we have all these wonderful flavors of sponsorship.
Yes,
the one thing is they are my guide through working the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, but there are so many different ways that people help us work that program.
Yes, and I love that you were attracted to a meeting that puts out front, sobriety must come first.
Yes, that really saved me. And I, now granted, I understand that by the time I got to those meetings, I didn't have very young children. I didn't have a full-time job. But I do think if you are in another situation, if you're younger, if you have a lot of other commitments, you still have to find your own way to do that somehow. Any way you can do it. If it's not perfect, fine. That's okay. Just do it. Try to put it first before your loyalty to anything else.
Yeah.
So perfectly stated. It's the effort is the magic. Being willing to try is what invites all of this to work.
Yeah.
And none of us does it perfectly, right?
Yeah, I don't think that it's possible to do it perfectly. And the book tells us and how it works. We're not saints. And so it is this, am I willing to do often a thing I don't want to do that leads me to the solution that I want? But Kathy, I want to just ask you, this is a family disease, both you and your daughter. Can you talk a little bit about how both of you being in recovery has impacted your recovery?
Well, there's even more to it because my daughter got sober and I got sober, and then we confronted my husband. So his sobriety is from 2012.
Okay.
I've learned a lot about alcoholism in that in her case, it was a question of as soon as she drank, it was gone. It was not like that for me, and it was not like that for him. So there are many different ways that this can happen. And I did have people tell me, well, if you have problems and you drink, you know, you're just creating another problem. And of course, at the time, I just said, sure, right. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't
as one does.
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say we went through hell, especially when, you know, she was hospitalized like 13 times in one summer. You know, we didn't know she was going to live, you know, mm-hmm. and we are so close now, having gone through it.
Yeah,
we're very close and we understand each other in ways. And we all say things like, oh, she'll say, I need to do a fourth step on that. You know, and I know exactly what she's right. talking about. We're constantly working the program.
You know, it's you've got this family, mom, dad, and daughter, who are all in recovery and have this fantastic ability to communicate.
Yeah.
But we all had one basic thing. We were driven to our knees and found a way out. I always say I hit a wall. That's how I feel. It's not so much a bottom as that I got to a wall because I always felt I could figure everything out. And I'm resilient. I, you know, that kind of thing. I can pull myself up by myself. Yeah. Well, you know, I hit a wall. And when I hit that wall, I realized I need help. And that's when I went in. And also, I realized it's not all about me. I'm not the boss of everything. You know, and I think that's kind of the starting point for the higher power thing. You know,
yeah, there are some nodding heads on the screen here right now. Right?
You know, in celebration of our 85th anniversary of the publishing of the Big Book, I want to just say, Kathy, that they wrote about you in the Big Book. In the chapter more about alcoholism, there's the guy, Fred. And Fred says, I got this. I can figure it out. I'm smart. I'm successful. There's not a cloud on the horizon. And this thinking that we can figure it out is often the number one thing that blocks us from getting the support and help we really need, from walking into that first meeting, from being at the clubhouse when the newcomer gets here. Being smart is often a barrier to getting what we need.
Yeah, since you mentioned the Big Book was a large part of that for me because in the earlier parts, before that day that I walked into the clubhouse, I had a Big Book lying around, you know, for a long time.
Collecting dust.
Exactly. Then one day something said to me, read the book. And I have to say, I read the whole thing in like 2 days. I just couldn't put it down. Yeah. And I kept saying, this is me, this is me, this is me. You know, I recognize everything. And there are, obviously there are chapters like this could have been worse or I hit the rock bottom. And that's how meetings were. I mean, now, as you said, my Big Book is, it's all ripped up. I've got it taped together. There are marks and notes. And I take that same Big Book to meetings because it reminds me of the journey. You know, it reminds me. I don't want a new one. I mean, that's I remember each page that I read, you know, and what it meant to me.
Have you ever heard the saying, if your Big Book is a mess, you're probably not?
Ooh, I love that.
I like that. Yeah. But you realize you're just like everybody else there. And the early meetings I went to, I made a comment, boy, that never happened to me. And he just stared at me and he said, yet, yet. That really put me down and put me thinking, absolutely, you're absolutely right. I don't take any of it for granted.
You know, Kathy, I love what you said about the guy telling you yet. And I think it's why our Big Book, the stories in the back are divided into these sections, right? The first section of the three is the pioneers, the first 100. And then the next section is we quit in time, right? Whatever that means, right? Because nobody gets to Alcoholics Anonymous on good day. But then there's the last section, right? The people who nearly lost it all. And while I don't have necessarily like the story gutter bravado, like I never lived in a freezer on the side of the railroad track, I need to remember, but for the grace.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't take anything for granted. And I do realize anything could be me. Anything I hear, it could have been me. You know, it would be good in our society, even if you weren't an alcoholic, to have that acceptance. But as far as being tough on ourselves or thinking about ourselves, my sponsor also said, apart from doing an inventory and saying everything you've done, you do badly, also say everything you've done right.
Yes.
Tell yourself, I did this right. This was something good I did. It may be small. Maybe I did something for somebody today. But that kind of self-reflection is now a total part of my life and my daughter's and husband's lives. It's you know, so, and AA has done that for us. I mean, it really is a miracle. And I mean, I know there's a lot of work that goes into the miracle. And I know, for example, I have a friend in AA, and I'll use a fake name, but he has this sticky note on his mirror in the bathroom, and it goes, Bob, don't lie to me today. You know, so
I love that.
I know. Obviously, I don't always do it, but honesty with yourself is one of the great things I've learned. But I also would like to say that we're talking about the writing, yeah, the big book, I went on from the big book, of course, to the 12 by 12, and that elaborates more, and to some other books. And the grapevine's been a real lifeline to me. I have the hard copies of it. I read magazines, you know, and I pick it up and it centers me. It brings me back hearing the other people's stories. If I can't sleep at night, I'll pick up a story. If I'm going someplace and I just want something extra, you know, I pick up a story. It's a real lifeline for a lot of people.
And how hard was it to write a story for the grapevine?
Oh, well, for me, it was not at all difficult. But of course, I like to write. I keep journals and things. And I know that not everybody likes to write. And in the meetings that I go to now, because I was a grapevine rep for a while,
all right.
I said, you know, I have asked people to write their stories. And I said, if you're worried about writing, I'll help you kind of put them together. Now, I know they have stories, and I think some people are just afraid to write, like afraid that it won't sound good or they won't have the right, you know, grammar or something.
Well, and here's one of the fantastic things about that is that Grapevine's editors also work on the stories. So send in what you got. You're talking about helping someone pull their story together, and then the editors themselves at Grapevine also do that.
Yes, and I believe you also have the ability to send in a tape, don't you, if you don't like to write?
You can send in recordings. So
yes.
The recordings, I don't think, are so much transcribed these days as they are actually used as short stories that are available on the YouTube channel and other methods as they become available.
Yeah, you can send in anything, however you can express your thoughts, and someone will help you with that. So I will keep pushing people. I know they have stories, but I also know I'm not like that, but a lot of people are scared to try writing. They're afraid they won't express themselves well, or it won't look good. So what, someone will take over.
Yeah. Well, you know, the hardest thing about me doing my fourth step was sitting down and starting.
Yeah.
Once I started, it showed up. It's the same thing about writing.
Yeah.
Whether you're writing in a journal or you're writing an article for Grapevine or whatever, it's just a matter of sit down and start.
And for anyone who is experiencing the miracle of recovery, that this is not separate. It's not a side task. Mm-hmm. Kathy, you talked about it being a lifeline. And maybe the thing that someone has to say is a lifeline for me.
It doesn't have to be a 500 or 1,000 word essay. You can write a few sentences. That's used too.
It's such a beautiful, virtuous cycle that I get pulled back from the gates of hell, and then I'm able to share, shine a light with someone else. And Kathy, what you wrote is so beautiful about the transcendent nature of our texts, that it doesn't matter who you are, this text is for you.
Oh, thank you. Obviously, the original book was written so many years ago. And yeah, sometimes I have heard criticisms saying, oh, well, the language is old, or but to me, none of that matters. At bottom, it gives you universal truths and a way to handle life. And I think one of the great things about Bill W. too was that he himself just evolved over time. If he were here today, he'd still be gone, changing, evolving, and growing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
You know, I'm sure of that. So to me, that the big book is, it is a miracle. And if you look for yourself, you'll find yourself, I think, if you have this problem or your loved one does, you'll find yourself in those stories. I want to stress the hope of the book too, because there is a chapter called To the Wives. Okay. So you may be put off by the fact that it says To the Wives. All right. If you skip that, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Skip the fact that it says that and just look at what it is saying. There are four stages of the loved one, you know, and it says, okay, at stage one, it's this. Stage two, it's this. Yes. Stage three, it's this. And stage four, you think, oh my gosh, when you're first reading it, this is a total, this person's gone. And they say, there still is hope. The description of the four steps is amazing, and it's so hopeful, because you get to the end of it and you go, okay, if that guy can do it,
you know, there's hope for me.
There's hope.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been what a joy to sit down and chat with you.
Just delightful.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Don, what are you playing with on your phone? We're supposed to be recording a podcast here.
Oh, sorry, Sam. I was just checking my spiritual fitness in the new Grapevine app.
Oh, the daily spiritual maintenance checklist? Well, are you fit?
Yep, says so here. And look, there's a daily quote and a sobriety calculator.
And you can read the latest issue and all of the past issues all the way back to 1944.
And you can have the app read the magazine to you out loud as a playlist. It's the monthly magazine in print and audio.
Right in your pocket. The Grapevine and Lavinia apps are now available for both iOS and Android phones. To get yours, go to the App Store on your phone.
Albert and Sam are sitting at a bar.
Hey, Albert, after you drink, does your tongue burn?
I don't know, Sam. I never tried to light it.
It's really not that funny. Thanks for joining us. The AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour is posted every Monday and is produced by AA Grapevine, Inc. We don't speak for AA as a whole. We share the experience, strength, and hope of members to help others recover from alcoholism. Podcast info, including how to call in, is at aagrapevine.org/podcast. Search AA Grapevine in the App Store on your phone or find AA Grapevine on Instagram and YouTube. All things Grapevine are available at aagrapevine.org. If you want to know more about AA, search online for Alcoholics Anonymous in your city or visit aa.org.
That was freaking amazing.